You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to the site now, check it out. We've got a page-turning look from Week 11 to Week 12, already focusing on the week as a short week. As you know, here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we got three shows only because of Thanksgiving, three games. So the Thanksgiving picks against the spread are up there, as well as the rest of the weeks will be up. And look at all the fantasy football rankings for week number 12. And I'll have the decider up as well tomorrow. So compact express week here, but getting you ready. And we'll do that a little bit later as well. If you need some help here in critical week, another critical week for the fantasy football waiver wire, to fill in a flex spot or running back spot, wide receiver, maybe you need a streaming quarterback or defense. We'll talk about those positions a little later in the show. We'll also have Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly joining us on his usual hit on Weekly Waiver Wire. We'll look at the running backs and wide receivers with him. We'll talk quarterbacks and tight ends here as well as streaming defenses to close the show. But we got to spend a little bit of time on what we saw Monday night there with the Rams and Chiefs. I mean, talk about takeaways for fantasy football. We could go on and on about all that, but what a crazy, crazy game, and lived up to the hype. I can't believe it. Sometimes these games just totally disappoint. This one does not. 54-51. The Rams beat the Chiefs to hold on here. And the surprising thing was all the turnovers. And we had three defensive touchdowns. He had five turnovers from Patrick Mahomes. But you didn't really care much when he has 478 yards and six touchdowns. Jared Goff, 4-13-4 to counter and get his team the win. Also a rushing touchdown. So Jared Goff ends up with a cleaner game. He also lost a fumble in this one as well. But you didn't care. You just saw this go back and forth, especially if you had any piece of either passing game that you played with confidence. It was one of those games that we'll remember for a long time in the regular season. And you go down the line, Tyreek Hill was just dominant here. Sammy Watkins tried to play. Chris Conley stepped in and had a great game, 7-for-74, two TDs on 8 targets, while Tyreek Hill had two TDs on 10-of-14, 215 yards. Travis Kelce dominated, 10-for-127 and a TD on 15 targets as well. So this reminded me of a classic like college football game, a bowl game where teams go back and forth, Rose Bowl. I know this was played in the Coliseum, but felt like one of those high-scoring Rose Bowls like the Oklahoma-Georgia game, that type of deal. And we've never had a game where two teams have scored 50 like this, high-scoring Monday night game and 95 points total, 114, I believe, is the record for combined points in the game. So this is where we're heading with the future in fantasy football. It's just a new era here where teams are just opening it up and throwing it. And you were disappointed if you had the running backs, a lot more so if you had Todd Gurley than you had Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt still had 17 touches for 111 yards and a TD, so you'll take that anytime. But Todd Gurley, only 15 touches for 94 yards and no touchdown for the first time here. Go figure, you have all these touchdowns scored, and Todd Gurley does not score at all. And he didn't look exactly right, so maybe this bye week is perfect. I know it's going to be tough for Gurley owners to enjoy a bye week without him in the lineup, especially after having a tough game here that just didn't put you over the top if you needed him on Monday night there. So I think this rest is good. Malcolm Brown still is being worked in as the backup. I still like John Kelly maybe as the preferred handcuff. I think they're holding on to him. Brown is just a guy. He just doesn't look that good. 4 carries for 15 yards there in Gurley's stead. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I just not a fan of not handcuffing your running backs as deep in this season. I mean, the Gurley maybe being banged up a little should have been a reminder for that. So the bye is going to make him refresh, gets the Lions after this. We know the Lions have been destroyed. We know that we've had some massive rushing games there. So I think he'll get back on track in that game against Detroit. But you have to settle for him without a week. Hopefully he gets a little healthier and you get a little bit more clarity on the handcuff. But I would think I'm more interested in Kelly at this point than Brown, even though Brown is the guy that's been active and playing. In the passing game, Josh Reynolds, 6 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown here, doing really well there, filling in for Cooper Kupp, pretty much picking up where he left off. Brandon Cooks, 8 for 107 on 12 targets, 4 for 72 and a touchdown for Robert Woods on 11 targets. So kind of the same split here. The only difference is that you had Tyler Higbee, 6 for 63, here on 7 targets at one tight end, 3 for 49, including a long 40-yard touchdown to win the game for the Rams as part of his 2-score night. So Higbee and Everett were also getting theirs in relation to Reynolds, so they could get more snaps for these tight ends a little bit more to give some versatility to the offense. So that might actually cut into Cooks and Woods. I mean, in most games, all these guys are not going to go off at the same time, these 5 players. So that's something to keep in mind. We have to be a little bit more matchup specific going forward. You look at the Lions, they're very generous to tight ends, but have that number one corner in Darius Slay. So I think you could see a lot more of Higbee and Everett being worked in after the bye to kind of diversify this offense a little bit, keep Sean McVay ahead of opponents trying to know what they're going to get from the Rams. And that happened here finally against the Chiefs. They made the adjustment to get Higbee and Everett involved late, and it made all the difference. They exploited the Chiefs' safeties without Eric Berry. Daniel Sorensen was just a little overwhelmed by these 2 tight ends. So that's something we want to watch going forward, where I still would like Everett over Higbee overall. I think Higbee was producing again product in this matchup, but Everett is a more talented player, and we saw that they trust him a little bit more in scoring situations here. And Everett definitely has high upside coming out of the bye, and I think he's had high upside since being drafted in the league. So we'll have to see on the other side with Watkins there. Tried to play with the foot. Chris Conley looked pretty solid here, so we'll see if they involve Conley more ahead of DeMarcus Robinson there. So Conley will definitely have viability if he is that fourth option behind Hill, Kelsey, and Hunt there for Patrick Mahomes, and that could have some value. So we'll have to see how that goes. Maybe Watkins heals during the bye with the foot, but a guy hard to trust given his injury history dating back to Buffalo. And these defenses prove they still have a lot of playmakers. I think the Rams, you can go back to playing them. You could have played them this week with the 2 scores and been very happy even with this result, but Aaron Donald gets the Lions next week, so good chances to get some sacks against Matthew Stafford and some bigger plays there. And the Chiefs, going forward, you look at them, got the Raiders next, so some opportunities there to really bounce off this and really play some strong defense overall going forward. And this matchup was great. We had a lot of scoring. Wish there was a little bit more from the running backs, but you can't have everything. You had almost everything in this game, so you'll take it. And from a reality standpoint, just what we're going to see more and more from the NFL, entertaining games. We know in NBA and DFS there that you get a little bit more because you've got scoring guys. And outside of watching Kemba Walker play for back-to-back games for the Hornets, scoring 60 and 43 points, this Rams-Chiefs game was like that, basketball with a lot of skilled players going off back and forth, and really enjoyed it, and hopefully there's a few more fantasy games like this in the future. Now, this game was total heat and warmed up everything as we enter Thanksgiving. November, it's cold out there, but you got to stay warm, and I got to tell you about Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing, heat on demand at the touch of a button. You can control your own environment by wearing Action Heat products. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach up to temperatures of 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone and any other gadget while you're wearing them. So that's pretty cool as well. If you're looking for a gift for a friend or a family member, you got to put Action Heat on your holiday gift list. It's great for anybody who works outdoors or likes skiing or snowboarding and just downright hates being cold, especially when they're out there at a sporting event, football game this time of year. And so you have a good chance to now stay warm and cozy head to toe with Action Heat. And when men's and women's products are there, you can check out, and a lot more have come out here for the winter season. So get that blast of warmth and enjoy this colder part of the year. And there's a special promo code for listeners of Locked On Fantasy Football. If you use the promo code there, Locked On, go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Use that promo code there to download and get that special deal there for Action Heat. And it's a great product, that innovative, looking for the future. And no better thing to think about than in the November, December, January, and February, throughout the football season and the winters that can be brutal. So Action Heat, we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% there off your first order, entire order at Action Heat. When we get back, we'll have Eric Edholm here of Pro Football Weekly to look at some of the running back and wide receiver situations on the waiver wire. Joining me now, as he always does here on Tuesdays for a weekly waiver wire, is Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly. And Eric, are you recovered from this Rams-Chiefs game yet?
I'm actually not, Vinny. And as we were kind of briefly chatting about before we started this, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed that game. I thought it was fantastic. Was it strange and weird and occasionally ugly? Of course. But, you know, the number of people in my timeline just sort of, oh, there was no defense, and I like defensive battles. It's like, wait a minute. First of all, there was defense. Second of all, come on, give me a break. That was just pure, unadulterated fun right there. So if you didn't like that, I don't know what I got for you. They're probably not playing fantasy football. They're probably not enjoying life in general. So you know what? Let's cater to the folks who do enjoy a good rollicking fun time.
Well, it was interesting because I was watching Patrick Mahomes go off there, and I had already won the matchup pretty much once he threw the first touchdown. But just watching that, and then the other side of the equation, another league, I was just watching Greg Zuerlein grind away to get 12 points, and it happened. And on top of that, this morning you get up in a certain website had a lot of issues with scoring when you got up. So a lot of people that thought they won had lost, but have actually really won, and they're going to correct that, hopefully.
So. Yes, I did see the little notice there. Luckily, I lost by a good 45 points. I had no worries about scoring corrections or anything, you know, any other arcane stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just life of the commissioner. And the life of the commissioner is also kind of regulating these pickups here, and the trade deadline is pretty much passed in most fantasy football leagues, so the waiver wire is it, but here comes something else from the sky, Gus Edwards, of all things that we look at, didn't even have, I think, an 800-yard rushing season in college. Yeah. He's now all of a sudden getting 17 carries, running all over with the Lamar Jackson tag-teaming the Bengals, and then they get the Raiders and Falcons the next 2 weeks, two teams that they can really run on. Now, what do you know about Gus Edwards? The only thing I know is he was at Miami once, and he also went to the same school as Ray Rice, and maybe that's why the Ravens like him.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's funny you mentioned it, too. I was at the Ravens-Colts joint practices this summer, and I was – you know, I went in there going to do an Andrew Luck story, going to do a Lamar Jackson story, you know, whatever, and one of those type of things, just kind of watching the guys go through work. And they kept – the Ravens kept giving the ball to this number 35 guy, and he's rumbling through and breaking tackles and running hard. And I'm like, who's this guy? You know, I had no idea. And, of course, I had seen the name before and thought, huh, okay, yeah, that dude, right, sure. But – you know, it wasn't somebody that was really on my radar, and yet he kept opening my eyes, and I kept thinking, I'm gonna keep an eye on this dude. You know, he's not gonna break off a lot of 20-yard runs. He's not the most dynamic player you've ever seen, but he's fun and he's useful and he's interesting. And, you know, they waived him the start of, you know, roster cutdowns, and then they kept him on the practice squad. He could have been signed by anybody. It just felt like the Ravens had an affinity for this guy. Like, they knew that he was going to be useful at some point. And, you know, that game was against Cincinnati in Lamar Jackson's first start. And, you know, I don't know exactly what to think of the whole Ravens running back picture. I know that Lamar's not going to be running it 24 times before three kneel downs there at the end. And, you know, they need somebody like Edwards, I would think, to kind of get to help him out and to really put him in a good spot. So it's kind of interesting how this this Ravens backfield has undergone a few different iterations so far this year.
Yeah, I think part of it is maybe just they want to keep the forward momentum of running a little bit. And you can't have maybe a guy that has some moves, unfortunately, like Alex Collins,
right,
work in that kind of offense. So I don't think necessarily Alex Collins is gone and just buried here. I think he might actually need Joe Flacco in these type of matchups to help him going forward. But Edwards, you got to pick up because it looks like Flacco might miss the game, and it's the Raiders at home. I mean, it's another terrific spot that you can almost fall forward and expect to get some points here. So that's the yeah. other thing about Edwards is you just don't see backs that are getting 17 carries out of nowhere show
right.
up this late in the fantasy football season. But here we are, and it's really frustrating if you own Collins. Now, there's a couple other developments, frustrating if you're a Kerryon Johnson owner as well. He's been so good of late, and everything was rolling. He was looking good against the Panthers. Hurts his knee, definitely looking not good for the short week here against the Bears. Now, what do you think about Theo Riddick? I know they've talked up Zach Zenner, LeGarrette Blount. How do you kind of see this Lions backfield shaping up, at least initially, with Johnson out against the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago when they traded Golden Tate, you know, my sort of suggestion was, can't they make him a slot receiver? Couldn't they put him in the slot? And, I mean, he runs routes like a receiver. We know that, you know, he's been kind of a PPR darling in the past, the guy who's probably going to, you know, have as many targets as he does rush attempts, or right around the same number. So, yeah, you know, that was sort of my thinking was, why can't they use him that way? Now, they still use him as a receiver. He's not necessarily going to be a frequent runner, but when you see him catching 5, 6, 7, 8 balls a game, you know, and looking good. I mean, I know the numbers have been a little bit muted, but especially in a one-game spot like this, where I think the Lions actually have a decent chance of upsetting the Bears, you know, he really could have some good value. And then, you know, you look forward to a game like the Rams after that. Probably going to have to throw it to him as well. We don't know Marvin Jones's status. You know, Johnson could be out a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think there's a real good spot for him in the next couple of weeks. I think is it Arizona after that too. So, real good opportunities.
Well, similar type back that pretty much is like the mirror image of the Riddick in terms of people use him and hope for that PPR production is Jalen Richard. But the thing about him last week against the Cardinals, Doug Martin was kind of sitting on the sideline, banged up after a good first half. They trusted him as the early down guy there over DeAndre yeah. Washington. Then you had, after the game, John Gruden, I think, was comparing him to Charlie Garner. But we know John Gruden's nuts enough to think that Richard has to be maybe being featured now. I know the matchup against the Ravens isn't the best, but at this point, any starting running back, and we've seen the Raiders starting running back in their mess of a season, whether it's been Marshawn Lynch or Doug Martin, have some pretty decent value, at least in the flex spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think Gruden's necessarily right about this, but if you look back at what Richard has done in kind of a, you know, limited sample size the last 2-3 years, I mean, on a per touch basis, he's been pretty darn good. I mean, you know, 10 yards a clip as a receiver, whatever that number is, you know, maybe a little under that. I would say, I think he averages over 5 yards a carry for his career, not big touchdown numbers. And everybody jumped ship last year when he started fumbling. But if he's cured that, I mean, this is a pretty useful little player. And, you know, I know that Gruden said that Doug Martin would be okay or whatever his sort of non, you know, clear answer was on that. But I'll tell you what, I like it. And I don't know this week in particular with Baltimore. It could be a tough one, although they missed some tackles against the Bengals. But after that, it's Kansas City and Pittsburgh. And you go, I could see this working out pretty nicely. So for a flex option, I absolutely think there's something to be had there. And he's one of the few guys that has, you know, kind of yards after contact type ability. So that opens my eyes too.
Yeah, another situation that we're looking at, it's the bye coming out of it for the Patriots. And we know things could shake up with anything they do offensively after the bye. Now, Rex Burkhead is on his way back here. And Sonny Michel's been banged up, we know, with the knee. I think he'll probably be healthier and be a little bit more active coming out. And you have James White. Now, I think Burkhead is maybe a thorn in the side of both of these guys because he can cut into the red zone value and the receiving value of both these players. And you know they like him, so I figure they're going to find a way to use Burkhead if he's healthy.
I agree. You know, early in, you know, obviously in August when people were drafting, I think there was a lot of feeling that, like, well, you know, James White's not going to have value till the end of the year, and Sony Michel is going to be slow to develop, so Rex Burkhead is your RB1 there. You know, of course, we know how the season started. I think he was, you know, fine against the Texans, and then he gets hurt, you know, whatever. But that doesn't mean that Burkhead can't come back and help this team. And it seems like they've kind of earmarked him as the, you know, designated to return guy. It sounds like he'll be activated, if not prior to this Jets game, definitely by the Vikings game and right as we get into the fantasy football playoffs. So, yeah, he could be one of those sneaky players. And, you know, if you have an IR spot and can spot him there for a couple weeks until he's ready, that's great, or a week or whatever it is. Otherwise, if he's out there, I recommend picking him up because I think, you know, I was at the Denver game last year where he kind of came out of nowhere and had a 2-touchdown game or whatever it was. That I can see that happening against the Dolphins or one of these teams they face down the stretch where they just have a package for him and Michelle or White are used as kind of complimentary pieces. And, you know, maybe he's not an every week play, but I could absolutely see him having good value. They do like him. You're right.
Yeah, it's going to be frustrating again. It's a Patriots backfield. You know that's where it's going at some point. Now, we got to talk about two rookies that I think frustrated a lot of fantasy owners because they had a breakout game a few weeks ago, kind of were lulled, didn't get used by their teams, even though they were getting out there and playing. And then they both explode at the same time there in dome games. With DJ Moore, the first-round pick out of Maryland for the Panthers, and then Tre'Quan Smith, who looks like an absolute steal for the Saints as well. Now, you look at this, these two guys, who do you like more going forward? I mean, Tre'Quan Smith, it's frustrating because he had that zero the week before, right. And this could have been a product of the matchup. But it's the same thing with DJ Moore. Who do you kind of like going forward? Because these two teams do like to spread it around to a lot of different playmakers.
Yeah, I think before the Philly game, I would have definitely said DJ Moore, only because you look back and Tre'Quan, you know, it was so touchdown dependent. You know, he was so big play dependent. And, you know, I mean, he had those games where he'd catch two or three balls, but he'd score and it would, you know, make it worthwhile. But that felt a little unsustainable. But that's before Breeze threw it to him, what was it, 14 times in the game or something like that, and he caught 10 of them, and he had the big yardage totals. It was way different than that Redskins Monday nighter when, you know, he had the two long balls or whatever. I just felt like that was a more encouraging sign, even though it might have been a little lower scoring total. It just felt to me like Breeze trusts him, and he knows Brandon Marshall's only going to give him so much, and that if he's going to get single coverage, they're going to throw it to him. So, you know, that to me was eye opening. But I still like Moore a lot. He can do a lot of different things for them. You know, he showed some real explosive ability there. A couple of really great plays in that loss on Sunday, and I don't know. Maybe I just feel like he's got a little bit higher of a floor. Where do you sit on this?
Well, I think more with the thing that's happening with Devin Funchess, where he's just become terrible of late, that DJ Moore might actually be inspiring as maybe being the number one receiver there developing here. While Tre'Quan is always going to be no higher than the number two, Granted, sometimes that works in your favor if the coverage floats to Michael Thomas like the Eagles did last week. I think you're going to have more and more teams do that. It makes a ton of sense to do that, and I'm surprised more teams haven't tried to take Michael Thomas out of the game and open things up. But the one thing I like about Tre'Quan Smith, however, his home game production has been very good. I really like him at home. He had the big two-touchdown game where Drew Brees had the record. He had the touchdown in that Rams game as well. So I think sometimes it's a little bit easier to trust these Saints targets at home, but they have a lot of good home games coming up. Their road games are the Cowboys, Buccaneers, and Panthers, so not any weather issues in any of those games either. So when you look at all that, I think you're right. I think DJ Moore is maybe that solid 6 to 60 catch guy. Well, you might get Tre'Quan Smith could be 3 for 30, or he could be 5 for 120 and 2 touchdowns. So yeah. I think that's how you have to kind of look at it going forward. But both are definitely ownable and definitely startable, I think, as a wide receiver 3s going forward.
Yeah, and you know, the other funny thing too is that those two division games they play, the Falcons and Bucks in the next 3 weeks or whatever it is, the first time around, he did nothing against either team. I don't think he caught a ball against either one, you know, in weeks 1 and 3 or whatever it was. So that to me almost suggests that, you know, the Saints are at the point of confidence where they could go, you know, those teams could maybe snooze on him a little bit because he hadn't developed at that point. They were still kind of forcing the Cam Meredith thing or whatever they were doing back then. Watch him catch 8 balls in at least one of those games. I think Thursday is a really nice opportunity for him. I think he's going to have a real good chance of having a big game against this Falcons team.
Yeah, that's for sure. Robert Alford has struggled, and they've made some shot plays against him outside, so that definitely helps. Now, two guys that came on strong, we've liked them a lot this season. Josh Reynolds just needed his opportunity there with the Cooper Kupp going down, ran with it, looked like the best Rams receiver there in that Chiefs game. And then Christian Kirk went a nifty play down the sideline for his touchdown. We've been waiting for this kid to do a little bit more. Part of it has been tied to Josh Rosen and his up-and-down play. But both Texas A&M Aggies here. Who do you kind of like going forward? I mean, Christian Kirk is clearly the number two, maybe the 1A in Arizona. Well, Josh Reynolds is definitely the 3 in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it's kind of what you were talking about earlier with Moore and Smith, which is where – you know, do you trust the sort of, let's call him a co-number one just because Larry Fitzgerald seems to be, you know, that seems to be his role at this point, even if it's not fair to put him and Kirk on even footing. But just for fantasy purposes, do you want that guy in an offense that's lower volume passing-wise? Now, I know they had, you know, the 3 touchdown passes, but still. Or do you want that number 3 in one of the 2 or 3 most potent offenses in the NFL? I could see it both ways. I mean, you know, a breakout game, you know, and we know that Reynolds had the Packers game. I guess he had the 2 scores. You know, he kind of broke out in that one, and then obviously against the Chiefs, he had a big game as well. You know, there's still a lot of nothing in between. A lot of, you know, those were the 2 oases in his season. So I understand with Kupp out, it changes. But I kind of feel like – maybe I'm being a little too conservative here, but I kind of feel like they have a real plan to get Kirk and Rosen as many opportunities together as they can down the stretch, because that's kind of going to be the future. I don't know. So – Maybe from a PPR standpoint, I'm liking him a little bit more. But if you're a risk taker, Reynolds clearly has some upside. I've always liked him as a player. I thought he was a good wide receiver coming out.
Yeah, I think the question with Reynolds is how much are they going to continue to use Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett to cut into Reynolds? Well, we know Ricky Seals-Jones. Every time he does something, he doesn't do something the next week. So maybe with Chad Williams out there still probably not going to play again, that Kirk has some upside. And you're right. I think with them, there's a lot of chance for garbage time where they're going to be throwing with Rosen. Some bad matchups coming up in terms of trailing the Chargers. They're big double-digit underdogs, so maybe that helps Kirk. But I like both players, and that's a good thing. Is you got to start from the basic point in fantasy, and that's the talent and opportunity. I think both these guys have oodles of that going forward.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I had Christian Kirk in my top 32 of the draft last year. I think he was right around there. It was like somewhere in the low 30s. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, I kind of felt like, you know, he just is a little bit more of a versatile player than what Reynolds is. And, again, I like Reynolds, but that to me is still worth something or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, but definitely viable pickups. All these guys are viable pickups. Yep. If someone has dropped them because they were disappointed before week 11, jump on them because they could be difference makers down the stretch, like our boy Gus Edwards. So we'll see how that all works out. But, Eric, thanks for joining us as usual. And what are you working on this week beyond just relaxing, hopefully, and watching some Thanksgiving football?
Yeah, beyond fighting with people on Twitter. Obviously, Bears are the team that we spend a little bit more time on here, so we're going to be following them closely on Thanksgiving. But, yeah, kind of working on, speaking of Bears, and I guess it applies to Rams, Chiefs, that, you know, it's interesting how teams, there are a handful who are outliers and are willing to go for two in non, you know, traditional two-point situations, and the Bears did it on Sunday night against the Vikings. So I'm kind of working on a story, just exploring that a little bit. Was it a function of the kicker? Is it an aggressive coach? Is it a new way of thinking? That sort of thing. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now.
All right, definitely check that out at Pro Football Weekly and all of Eric Ed Holmes' work. And you can also follow him on Twitter there. And he's got a lot of good stuff always, insight. And don't fight with him, though. It's Thanksgiving. It's family time.
That's all I say.
Yeah, right. That's a very simple request here. Don't fight with him. He's good people. So definitely check that out. Eric, good luck in your games this week. And we'll talk to you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Vinny, and all the listeners out there. Hope you guys have a good, safe holiday.
All right. We'll be back with a look at the rest of the waiver wire pickups here for week number 12.
Now, we had a good discussion about running backs and wide receivers with Eric there. And looking else at running back, Josh Adams, if you didn't get on the train last week when we talked about him, you got to look at him. He's the Eagles' lead power back, did score last week. The Giants' matchup is pretty favorable this week. So as well as the Edwards and Riddick and Richard and Burkhead, that's a guy that I would look at if he's still out there and lingering available. Maybe because that Saints matchup people avoided, but that's where you have to go. Wide receiver, we already talked last week about Anthony Miller, Kiki Kuti. They both came through again this week. So pretty much set there with running back and wide receiver. Edwards is going to be the high priority guy there if Adams is already owned. Now, when we look at streaming quarterbacks, you look at Jameis Winston, and he's back as a starter. It's the 49ers matchup. It's pretty favorable. We know it could always turn south. He could throw some interceptions, and they could flip to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Fitzpatrick has a better fantasy day. But for now, Winston in, Fitzpatrick out. He has the keys to the explosive Bucks passing game and at the 49ers. So this Winston-Fitzpatrick thing has created a like instant streamer because if they go back and forth, ugly for Dirk Cutter, probably not going to last there. But they're clearly looking for wins. They're not worried about Winston getting hurt and having to guarantee him money. So you look at Winston, he's definitely the guy to look to pick back up if he's out there. And you have to look at Lamar Jackson as well. We talked about him a little bit last week as the scene developed where he could be the starter over Joe Flacco, and we talked about him a lot. Granted, he ran a lot, but the numbers weren't there. If you think about 150 yards passing and an interception, didn't have the 100 yards rushing, but no touchdowns there. You need really touchdowns. We talked about that with Tom Kestnick as well to really trust Lamar Jackson. Then again, they are playing the Raiders this week, so maybe they'll let Jackson throw a little bit, take advantage of a bad secondary. We saw Josh Rosen make some plays against the Raiders, so Lamar Jackson, another solid streamer for you this week if you can't. Yeah, Winston, right up there to me is Baker Mayfield. He played outstanding before the bye a few weeks. The Bengals' defense is nothing to worry about. Not a real hostile road environment either. Probably a lot of Browns fans will make the trip to Cincinnati. So Mayfield's a baller. He's not afraid. We know that. He's been productive, and I really like Mayfield. So people dropped him during the bye, or if you forgot about him, he's a definite guy to play. And Nick Mullins on the other side of the Jameis Winston matchup. We know what he did in that cake matchup against the Raiders. He came through And the weapons, George Kittle and the receivers, they can all do damage against that Bucs secondary is for sure. So Mullins is definitely in play as a streamer. Another guy that you're to look at is Eli Manning. Played well. He had his first 3-touchdown game 2 weeks ago. It was very efficient. Last week, didn't put up a ton of yards, but playing off Saquon Barkley in that running game did really well there. And the Eagles' secondary is just a mess right now. And he's got Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard, and that's sometimes enough, along with Evan Ingram, to have a very productive day. So a couple of strong weeks for Manning. So Manning and Mullins and Winston Jackson Mayfield, not a bad week for streaming fantasy football quarterbacks. And it's been a good year for streamers where you can employ that strategy and find different guys to carry you in a certain matchup stretches. And definitely this week, it's primo for that. At tight end, you have to look at Jameis Winston's favorite target, Cameron Brait, because O.J. Howard's hurt. We'll have to see about that ankle injury. If O.J. Howard can play through it, it's going to be tough there. So if he's not playing in San Francisco, Brait is in a smash spot there. We'll see about the 49ers being healthier to cover the tight end. But Brait and Winston, we know if Howard's not in there, Brait's going to get a lot of targets and looks there from Winston. Jonu Smith has been involved a little bit more. Not crazy about him there, especially if it's Blaine Gabbert. But the Texans do give up a lot to tight end. So if it's Marcus Mariota, I feel a little bit about better about Jonu Smith if you need him. I mentioned there Everett at the top of the show that you can look at. He's on a bye this week, but could have some value here with no Cooper Kupp going forward and cutting into what Reynolds can do. And then Chris Herndon, we'll have to see who's the quarterback there for the Jets against the Patriots, but the Patriots have given up things to tight ends, and Herndon should return a little bit healthier this week to be a little bit viable down the stretch. So not too much there available with tight end. Now, finally, we look at what's left here on defense and special teams. I kind of picked up the Jaguars ahead of the game. I actually played them against the Steelers. Was pretty pleased with the results there with the turnovers. But the Jaguars, if someone had dropped them and seeing that Steelers matchup, pick them up because they're playing the Bills. They're favored on the road against the Bills. And we know the Bills' offense is not very good. The Jaguars can pretty much handle them well. On the other side of things, you can look at the Bills as well against the Jaguars with Blake Bortles on the road. They're Doug Marrone's former team. Playoff matchup rematch there for the Jaguars. Totally different circumstances here with both teams far from the playoffs, but the Bills and Jaguars game could be primo for fantasy defenses. You have the Cowboys at home here on Thanksgiving against Colt McCoy, and the Cowboys defense is good in general. Came through with a nice game in Atlanta that you can trust the Cowboys a little bit more. You want them to make a few more plays, but Leighton Vander Esch is definitely allowing them to do so. If you're streaming, you can look at the Colts against the Dolphins. The Colts played an excellent game against the Titans at home last week, so the Colts are 10-point favorites in that game. And if the Chargers were dropped there, you can look as well because they didn't make any plays against the Broncos, but they will do so against the Cardinals at home this week. So there you have it. There's a look at the waiver wire there, rest of the things to look at across the board at these positions here beyond what we looked at running back and wide receiver with Eric. So we will move on to the matchups tomorrow. It's the Matchup Focus show. We'll have Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus joining the program. It'll be our last show of the week as we compress a little bit of a DFS talk and value considerations there into that show with no Tyler Lochner because it's Thanksgiving and we want to give everyone a break there, including you, the listener there. So Wednesday show is going to be big. We'll get you covered. Expand a little bit so you can listen to that if you have any needs with a year-long or a daily. It'll be the show to listen to there this particular week. And good luck in your games and picking up guys this week, whether it's with your waiver, wire priority, or fab budget. There's some good value for sure out there that can help you win games. And every game is crucial now in Week 12, Week 13, when we're on the cusp of the fantasy football playoffs. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the matchup focus for week number 12.